Blog Talk Radio.
Stop hating, Sharice don't like you. Welcome to the war room. We got Dead, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up on a 2-hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
What up, good people? It's the first week of June 2012, and we'd like to welcome everybody back to the roundtable. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me are my brothers Jimmy Williams, Kill Bayon, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson. Today, we got some big stories to discuss with you from all over the world of sports, and of course, we'll be talking NBA Conference Finals. Like always, we want to hear from our people, so please chime in during the show, either in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call in and talk to us directly on the Digital Extreme Tech hotline when we open that up. That number is 323-410-0012. Before we get started, you know it's shout-out time, so make sure you check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio, and be sure to follow those guys on Twitter at the BS Line. They gave out a valuable lesson this week on destroying evidence to illegal activities. You might be shaking your head wondering what the hell we're talking about, but you got to listen back if you want to know what we mean. Those guys are hilarious. So also, check out the hardest working man in sports, Brandon Pemberton, and his partner Chris on Sports Track Radio every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on ueradiolive.com. Follow those guys on Twitter as well, at Sports Track Radio. Last but never least, don't forget that in addition to our normal time of 6 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays, you can also catch our show, The War Room, on newvibradio.com every Friday at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern time. So make sure you listen up, people. But for now, it's time for that birthday segment.
It's my birthday! Yay!
What's up, gentlemen?
Yo,
yo,
what's up?
You already know what it is. I'm here now.
Time to go to work. Let's go to work, man. The birthday segment is brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon, located at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. They can be reached at 301-839-4472. Make sure you ask for Lisa, because some of you young ladies are walking around and it's getting too hot to be walking around with your hair looking like that. But anyway, let's get back to the birthdays. The first birthday I want to bring up is one Anna Sergey. Her middle name is Sergey Zena Kornikova. Now, I may have pronounced her middle name wrong, but I know her name is Anna Kornikova. Whatever it is, baby pace. Dev, when I say Anna Kornikova, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Man, that's that, first of all, that, you know, that's that Russian stuff, so I wasn't even going to try with her middle name. But Anna Kornikova, we talked about her before when somebody else's birthday came up, because it was another looker that she actually could play. Anna Kornikova, she looks damn good, but Anna Kornikova is trash truck juice on the tennis court. And that's all I can remember. She was one of those people that got a whole lot of attention for nothing that had
looking
anything
good
to do with the sport. And
that's
all Anna Kornikova was.
Doc Beck.
Yeah, what's interesting about Kornikova is she was supposed to be nice as a on the tennis court and win championships, but she's never won a singles tournament. She has won a doubles tournament, and she's more famous for, I guess, the pictures that she takes and magazines and being linked to, at one point she was linked to Sergei Fedorov for the Detroit Web Rings, and then also linked to Pavel Bure in NHL hockey, and then, like, went back to Fedorov, and, like, they were just, like, passing her back and forth, and then she recently was married to Enrique Iglesias, and they've been together for about 10 years, but she's not really playing tennis tennis anymore because of her back, kind of like
Mike,
this.
Mike, were you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that? Your
back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
Yeah.
Sergey broke up back.
No. I was going to say, was it tennis that broke her back, or was it some of the other activities she was doing with the triumvirate of young men?
No good. I don't even know why we're referring to her as a tennis player. We should just call her a model who played tennis on the side or something like that.
Yo, B. Austin, let's hear what you have to say about this young lady.
Yo, ain't nothing but Hawk smash.
Respect that. You know, all I got to say about her is I know nothing about her tennis game, but you know, she needs a baby piece. Anyway, let's move on to the next birthday. The next birthday is one. The next birthday is one Napoleon Kaufman, who turns 39.
My birthday! Yay!
Doc B, let's start with you this time. When I say Napoleon Kaufman, what comes to mind?
It's like you heard his name a lot, but, like, he really didn't do that much. It was almost like he's all right, but he's not real type of deal. you know, that's about it.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go to Deb. What do you got to say about this young man?
Hey, I thought Napoleon Kaufman was all right. You know what I think of? I think, you know, Denver always gets a lot of props for kind of having nobody running back that, you know, they can get – good yardage. What the hell?
I don't know what that is. Find somebody getting beat by police.
But Denver is always known for that. But I also think that the Raiders were pretty good at just picking up, you know, running backs that ended up being pretty good, not superstars. And I think Napoleon Kaufman kind of falls into that mix right there.
Yeah. Be often.
Yeah, much to Dev's point, the Raiders had a pretty decent system for multi-purpose backs. They started off with Charlie Garner, then they kind of got into the change of pace having Teron Wheatley. I think that was a little before Charlie Garner, but their times might have crossed. And Napoleon Kaufman, he was hot for like 6 minutes, and then he was gone.
Brad, you know what it was? He retired after like 5 years. And he became a Christian minister. So he put up like
And by the way, it didn't start with Garner, because Napoleon Kaufman was there well before Garner. He was there about 5-6 years before Garner.
Before Garner, all right.
Yeah.
He was there with Wheatley. Their paths might have crossed.
Yeah, their paths did cross. And you know, like Kill said, that is what I know. I know he's an ordained minister now, but I've seen him on TV. So you know, he prosperity gospel shot him with that, but I don't like him anyway because he's a Raider. So, even though it's your birthday, you still get an FOH from me personally. At any rate, let's move on to the next birthday. What do you guys have something to say about this guy? One Douglas Terrell Buckley, who turns 41.
It's my birthday! Yay!
B. Austin, let's start with you this time, B. Austin. What you got to say about
Terrell Buckley is proof that interceptions do not make a great cornerback, because Terrell Buckley could get his hands on the rock, boy. To be honest, I don't even know how to weigh his career because, I mean, don't laugh when I say this. He's somewhere between Ezell Jenkins and Champ Bailey. And I say that because
I tried not to laugh.
He used to get burnt up. But he has, like, darn near 50 interceptions. And it's well because
you're somewhere between Ezell Jenkins and Champ Bailey, yo.
That's a wide gap. There's a lot of people that fit in between there. But
everybody who played in the NFL at cornerback is in the range between Ezell Jenkins and Champ Bailey.
Terrell Buckley was your consummate gambler, man. He belonged in Las Vegas, man, because he was gambling for the pick at all times. Feast the famine.
Yeah, I heard that. Anyway, Dev, what you got to say about this young man?
I ain't got nothing to say about him. Austin placed him in a wide range. What else is there to say?
Let's see if Doc Bay. Doc Bay, you got something to say?
He's somewhere between the top and the bottom.
Yeah, he also, at Florida State, you know, obviously he started Florida State, but he also played 2 years of varsity baseball and was a sprinter on the track team. He was all right.
He was all right. Anyway, let's move on to the last birthday. And, Austin, hold your thoughts for last because I don't want you to explode. But the next birthday is one Allen Ezell Iverson.
My birthday! Yay!
Dev, I'm going to start with you before we get too varying opinions. So what is your take on Allen Ezell Iverson?
First of all, why that man middle name Ezell? Only person I ever heard of named Ezell was the crackhead on Friday. I mean, you know, being from Philly, you know, I got a certain level of respect and a certain level of biasness for Allen Iverson, man. He's one of the greatest that ever did it. Like, it was so impressive to see what he can do at his size. You know, he was 5'11 at best. They tried to list him at 6 feet, about 155, 160 pounds. And the dude, you know, could go out there and average 30 points for a season at times. I mean, we all know the flaws in his game as far as being a pure point guard, but I just don't think he was built to be that. I just think he was a gunner, a shooting guard, and a point guard's body. And it's a shame that he's where he is now and he can't really get a run in the league. But a lot of it is from his own doing. I've kind of come to grips with that. But AI should be on somebody's roster. That's that dude.
No doubt. I just want to say something. Allen Iverson is one of my favorite players to ever play basketball. And it's funny because me and Austin had an argument this week because he still was trying to convince me that AI is better than Magic. And I just know that he's on that strong. Austin must be on that strong when he says that. Now, with that being said, AI is kind of like represents like me growing up. Like he represents my culture, so to speak.
Yo,
like,
Chuck, they must be on the pipe, right?
Like, AI represents the hip-hop culture, so to speak. So he's bigger than the sport of basketball. And this is my personal opinion. So shout-out to him. He's one of my favorite players of all time. He still ain't better than Magic, though. You're bugging.
But wait, Jimmy, you know what? Before those guys go, the fact that you said that, like, you know, he kind of mixed hip-hop culture and basketball. Because Allen Iverson is not in the league anymore, that's why you got Dwayne Wade and cats like that coming to the game with, like, tight pink pants and stuff like that, and people are actually digging it. And AI, they changed the dress code because of Allen Iverson.
Definitely.
And now people...
Hey, Austin, hold your thoughts, We're going to let you...
To the game in women's clothing.
We're gonna let you give you
eulogy
in a minute.
If AI was still in the league, we wouldn't have this, man. People would not be shopping in their wives and girlfriends' closets to come to the game.
No, we could say that right for later, but yo, let's hear what Doc Bay has to say about one Bubba Chuck before I let Austin give his eulogy. Doc Bay, what do you have to say about Allen Ezell Iverson?
That's a loaded question or a loaded birthday. There's so much to say about AI. Obviously, one of the greatest scorers ever, one of the greatest NBA players ever. In our many years, almost a decade of debates, you know, I always figured that he could have went down as the greatest point guard ever, but that itch to shoot was just, you know, too unbearable for him to deny. I also think that if he had he been able to spend more time at the one, teams may be willing to sign him now, because I think now teams are like, well, he wants to shoot the ball too much, so, you know, that's it. And with his coach and pride issues, but, I mean, he should be in the league. He's better than at least half the league still. It's not 70% of the league, so shout out to him. I hope he can play basketball somewhere on this planet for six figures.
Yo, he might be able to join your league, Kill. You know what I mean? I don't want to knock you off the number two ranking in the your state, but I'm saying he might be able to join your league.
Yeah, he'd be coming for your neck if he in that league.
Yeah, he'd be coming for your neck, Kill. Anyway, last but not least, the self-proclaimed Allen Iverson stan. Be often a hot block commander. When I say Allen Iverson, what comes to mind?
Yo, I'm not going to play myself. So I ain't going to say much. I'm going to just say that night in 99 at DC Live, thanks for letting me hang with you, homie. I'm still the best roller.
Yo.
I'm going to come to Dutch Master. All right, that's it.
Well, that was shorter than I thought, yo. So With that being said, remember the birthdays are brought to you by Daisy Beauty Hair Salon. Again, Dev, tell everybody what happened this week while they were on the grind.
All right, I will do, brother. All right, everybody, while you were on the grind, this is brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. Check out the website, or you can go to WarRoomSports.com, go to our sponsors page, click on the logo, check out the website, and check the hottest selection of rims and tires on the web. While y'all were on the grind this week, a few things happened. You might have heard about them. You might not have. Former NBA player Orlando Woolridge, he died at the age of 52. He had some kind of heart condition. He had a chronic heart condition. His mom said he's been sick for about a year. During that time, he had two heart attacks, and he couldn't hold a job because of his heart. What do you guys think about the death of Orlando Woolridge?
Real quick, yeah. it seems like the back in the 80s, guys were sniffing a lot of coke, man. And apparently reports are that Orlando, sniffed too much coke in his time to the point where now his heart, at age 52, isn't holding up. That's all.
Wow.
Yo,
that was rampant
like,
back in the league.
Like, for me,
yo,
this is like a sad story. I actually was a
thunder.
Fan of his. Go ahead, Austin. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, he stole everybody's thunder. What do you say after you say the bull was on there trying to wipe too much?
It was like an awkward silence. After Gil said that, like, damn, what are we supposed to say now?
No, what I remember about Orlando Woolridge is this, and it's kind of a sad story. I actually was a fan of his because, yo, he had game. He was like Chris Gatling in the sense that he was one of those dudes that would give you 20 a game, but he still got traded, like, every year. Yo, he
right.
had a 20 a game, like, maybe, like, seven times. Like, one point, yo, we'll average 25 a game.
Yeah, he was nice.
He was nice, but, yo, he still got shit like every pie was that coke habit. Now that Kill brought that up. I mean, I don't know that to be fact, but I could speculate that maybe it was coke habit that gave him a trick.
Yeah, no, he got suspended. He got suspended for some time for coke.
Yeah, because, yo, he used to put up numbers, yo. Like, in 90-91 season, he played for Denver. He was averaging 25 a game.
Yeah.
And he had 23 games for the Bulls.
Yeah, he was with the Bulls when Mike came in, right?
Yeah.
And that's why he stopped getting shots. He went from 22 a game to getting no shots.
Yo, I know y'all are laughing, but I actually remember watching old tape of the 84-85 season, and that's the first person I ever saw Michael Jordan yell at, like, to stop shooting.
Yo.
Orlando was like, all right.
Stop shooting so I can get more shots.
Mike came in 84-85. That season, he averaged 23. The next season, it went down to 20, and then they got rid of him in Chicago because he was taking too many of Mike's shots.
He was shooting too much. Yeah, he was shooting. Like, come on, Orlando. Come on, man. Nike probably got rid of him. Like, we trying to do something here.
Hey, I know he ended his career with the Sixers averaging 16-4-2. That was his last year. In 93-94.
Yeah,
so rest in peace to Orlando Woolridge, man.
Yeah, God bless the dead.
Yeah, that's a sad story. Former heavyweight champion Evander Holyfield, my man owes $372,000 in child support, and he may be headed to jail. I mean, this is a man who blew hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, y'all remember, like, at one point, he made $34 million for a rematch with Mike Tyson. And he lived in that mansion that had 17 bathrooms, three kitchens, and a bowling alley. Now this man owes $372,000 in child support and might go to jail for it. We did a show on this. It wasn't on Evander per se, but it was about athletes blowing money. What more can you say about Evander Holyfield, man?
Yo,
I say lock his ass up because there's no excuse for that.
Yeah, I know the yams wasn't worth what he's getting now, so the screwing he got ain't worth the screwing he about to get.
Yo, I just can't understand it, man. Dude was worth a whole lot of money. It shouldn't have come to this.
Speaking of Mike Tyson, it seems that Evander, speaking of Mike Tyson, it seems like Evander, like, was subscribing to this philosophy from Tyson.
Are you talking out of turn?
No, I think we're all talking together.
I normally don't do interviews with women unless I fornicate with them.
So maybe that's what he was doing.
Yo, but here's what's so crazy about this. 15 to 20 years ago, if I'd have told you guys that Mike Tyson would be living well and having his own show in Vegas and Evander Holyfield would be on his way to jail, would you have believed me?
No, because when they were fighting, Evander always seemed like the good guy out of the two. You know what I mean? I mean, granted, Mike Tyson is living well because he's like his own monkey. He's like cooning himself out for every dollar he can get, but still, yo, like, he not about to go to jail for child.
Maybe it's me, but like 15 years ago, wasn't Mike Tyson biting Evander's ear? Well, that was like 20 years ago.
That was a while ago. I don't know how long ago was that. Somebody in that chat probably could tell us. How long ago was it when Mike, tore his ear off? But
it might be.
I didn't think Mike would be alive. Leroy said it was 96.
Yo,
it was
real rap, Jimmy, that's a great point, yo. I thought Mike was going to die, too.
Mike thought he was going to die. Yeah, he said that. Mike was like, I can't believe I'm still alive.
Yeah, the lifestyle that he lived, like, you know what I'm saying, time flies by. It's been years, but, you know, it looked like, bottom line, it looks like Mike is doing better than Holyfield right now, yo.
Yo, so 15 years ago, 97.
Yeah, 97.
Dude was biting ears and
it was the
on drugs.
Shout out to Skyview, Kevin. He said he saw Sean Kemp. He was throwing fish at a Seattle supermarket for tips.
I've been to that market where they toss the fish. They got some good seasoning rubs.
I ain't gonna let Sean Kemp rub my fish.
Yo, I had so many comments about that comment, but I'm gonna be quiet, young man.
Oh. All
right. Yo. So that's what Evander's doing these days. Of course, y'all heard about the Jags rookie receiver Justin Blackmon. He was arrested for. I said arrested. Yo.
Yo, you smoking that strong over there?
You.
I'm
on that
yo,
Orlando Woolridge.
On
that Orlando Woolridge. Rest in peace. But
my man was in the car with Justin Blackmon. That's right.
What I'm trying to say is he was arrested for aggravated DUI. Yo, he blew a .24. He blew a .24 on the breathalyzer, which is three times the legal limit. So now, you know, in his apologies and everything, he's saying that he's swearing off liquor for now. Like, he's not going to drink alcohol, but he said for now. So
That means it's a woman offering something. My question
that
is,
means until next week when they're in the club. He's not going to
somebody on our Facebook page, and I apologize, I don't remember who said this, but I was thinking the same thing. What the hell is an aggravated DUI? Like, what's the difference between an aggravated DUI versus a DUI?
Well, I told you he blew three times the legal limit, so he was aggravating the cop.
you're drunk and you're driving, and when the cops pull you over, you're just like,
yo.
Yo, what was that?
Yo, what was that? The Hulk smash DUI? Kill me to get arrested for that.
Aggravated DUI is known as extreme. So
yeah.
I guess DUI is just like, you know, DUI, and then if you're then it's extreme DUI, it's called aggravated.
Yeah, .24. That's crazy.
Why does it call it extreme DUI? Why call it aggravated? I hate
them. They got to use legal terms. But y'all know, that's his second time. He got one in college also. So, yeah, he's swearing off the liquor for now. So we'll see if that holds up.
I just hope. I don't want to be – honestly, I don't want to be too judgmental. He's not really a kid, but I'm hoping that he kind of turns it around. I'd be remiss to go after somebody for two incidents when Pac-Man Jones is still in the league after he can basically do whatever he wants in life. So.
Yeah, I mean, but DUI is a situation where, I mean, it's a serious offense. And he definitely should pay. I mean, dude, the season ain't even started yet. And it's funny because in our chat room, Deuces Coop, they brought up a point. They said the Lions, the Detroit Lions account for 24% of NFL arrests. How does one team account for 24% when there's over 30 teams in the league?
Yo, for a while, that happened to the Cincinnati Bengals a few years back.
They passed the Bengals. The Lions have passed the Bengals. And the thing is, like, they're also one of the youngest teams in the league. So it's like a lot of these mistakes being made are by the young cats. It's not even a, you know, it's like, yo, they're coming in the league, and this guy hasn't even played yet. So they already are acting as if they're above the law before they even started. They didn't get their first check.
So you think he's going to get the think he's going to get the four-game suspension starting his rookie year?
It's tough.
He's definitely going to sit down with Roger God, a.k.a. Dad. He definitely going to have to sit down with dude.
He might get an aggravated suspension. He might get 6 games.
And yes, speaking of the Lions and their troubles, do y'all remember about 5 years ago they had, like, their offensive line coach got drunk, got into his
car, drive-thru.
They went to the drive-thru, Taco Bell, like, naked.
Yeah.
He definitely needed to be arrested immediately.
That's the new word in the world.
What if she drove through? Next year, I was like,
yo.
I'm gonna kill.
Yo,
alright, so that's his story. This is what happened on Monday night down in the great city of Miami. Chris Bosh on Monday night was getting a personal massage at home, and the woman, the masseuse, who came to give Chris Bosh a massage, she collapsed while she was in his house. They called the ambulance. The ambulance took her away. This woman ends up dying at the hospital. Like, they don't really know, you know, what happened, but Chris Bosh's wife released a statement.
No happy ending?
No happy.
I'm pretty sure they didn't get to that point. She collapsed, I guess.
Maybe she may have been when he was giving a happy ending. You know, he may have punched her or something.
I was saying, maybe what y'all say about Chris Bosh is true. And when he pulled out his parts and she realized they were lady parts, maybe she fainted.
He was a woman.
Let me stop talking about this woman, man. She died, man.
Rest in peace.
But, yeah, the statement that Bosh and his wife put out says, last evening, a massage therapist that we've used for some time arrived at our house to provide massage therapy. Shortly after she arrived, she fainted and lost consciousness. We called 911. An emergency personnel arrived at our home shortly thereafter. They took her to Mount Sinai Hospital, where she passed away. Our hearts go out to her family. We're very sorry for her loss. You know, that's sad. It had to be something involved that they didn't know about. This woman goes there. It dies, and whatever y'all laughing at, don't even say it.
No, I'm not laughing at that. I'm just laughing at our chat room. Our chat room is crazy, man. I'm just going to be quiet. I can't repeat that. Hey, Deuce, I can't repeat that, man. But
you're
off the hook.
Deuce Coop. Yeah. He said, don't say it. We ain't going to say it, man. But that's funny. All right, so NASCAR driver Kurt Busch. He had a little scrum with another driver, and when he was asked about it after the race, he kind of went ham on the reporter. Apparently, I mean, Kurt Busch, if you know anything about racing, this dude is kind of a rageaholic, and, you know, he kind of goes crazy sometimes on reporters, even on his own pit crew. But the reporter, whose name is Bob Pockrass, Kurt Busch basically says he's known to try to stir up the pot. So this is what happened. And Kurt Busch is already on probation. This is what happened when he asked him about the little scrum during the race.
Did it impact you, how you raced, Justin? The fact that you're on probation after that he said he was racing you.
It refrains me from not beating the out of you right now because you asked me stupid questions. But since I'm on probation, I suppose that's improper to say as well. If you could talk about racing things, we could talk about racing things.
Bob, this is it's racing.
It is not racing. You're in this just to start stuff. You know, that's all you're out here for.
Yeah, the audio wasn't great on that, but he told the dude my probation probably prevents me from beating the William H. Shatner out of people like you. Like,
yo,
If you saw the video,
I'm not really into racing.
Huh?
But I know that Kurt Busch is getting slandered in our chat room, so, and those are guys that actually are into it, so they know more than I do, and they're giving him the business. So it seems to me that he has this reputation.
Yeah, he's like I said, he's definitely like a dude. He's a rageaholic, in my opinion. Like, if you look up Kurt Busch on YouTube, if you look up Kurt Busch on YouTube, you'll see a bunch of videos where he's cursing at somebody or disrespecting somebody. That's just his thing. Like, I guess until somebody, you know, whoops his ass or something, he's just gonna keep on acting that way. But you know, when somebody get one good, you know, beating, they might calm down.
They usually straighten right on up.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely went ham on the reporter because he knew the reporter wasn't going to be able to do nor say anything, you know, that would make that situation
kinda, that's kind of corny when you're in a position where you can do and say things where you know you can't really get a response at that person's expense.
Yeah.
So now, you know, if the reporter is a wise ass and he's typically that guy that asked the incendiary question, I mean, I can kind of understand that response. But Kurt Busch has a reputation of essentially being a bully. And so, you know, I think once he gets some act right, he'll be all right.
Yo, Kevin says, how you going to be hard when you drive a damn race car?
Hey, man.
I don't know.
I thought Dale Earnhardt was one of the hardest dudes out. Man, it's black.
That's funny, man. Pause that, please. But it sounds funny, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a race car. It ain't like you're driving bumper cars, so I don't know.
And he died in a flame ball.
I'm saying Kane and Old Dog and them drove around in cars and they smoked people.
Yeah, I think that's Brent calling in, man. That's Brent Easley, right, man.
Well,
Holiday's
place.
Can we get at Brent.
What's going on? Brent calls in when the doc pitches, man.
Wait, we get at Brent right after we do the media blast. We got one more story. You guys know, Johan Santana threw the Mets' first ever no-hitter in an 8-0 win against the Cardinals, and a fan jumps out of the stands at the end of the game and celebrates with the team. The fan spent 2 days in jail for jumping onto the field. He missed his son turned one. He missed his birthday being in jail for this. He still faces a $25,000 fine and up to a year in jail because New York has an unruly fan law. And and he also got banned for life from City. Listen, he got banned for life from City Field. Do y'all think this punishment is a little too much or is this what he deserved?
Come on, man. First of all, unruly fan law. I mean, the definition of a fanatic, everybody should be. Never mind. That's stupid. To me, it's a little bit.
Yeah, so he spent 2 days in jail, missed his son's birthday, got a lifetime ban from Citi Field, still faces a $25,000 fine and up to a year in jail. I mean, and this guy was known in Mets circles before he even did this, so he really is a diehard Mets fanatic.
I kind of
think they went a little overboard with it. But, you know, all of this stuff started, I think, back in, like, 93 when the fan jumped out of the stands and stabbed Monica Seles. So, you know, ever since then, running out onto the field is like this big offense. So, you know, you're getting tackled, you're getting dragged off. But, you know, in the Mets storied history, this is the Mets. This is the first time they've ever had a no-hitter. I'm not condoning people jumping onto the field. Of course, I think you should get tackled. You should get dragged off. You probably should get arrested. I don't know if you should spend any nights in jail for running onto the field. You should get a fine or something, and they go about their business. But, you know,
I mean,
I think his punishment was crazy.
Dude wind up doing more time than George Zimmerman. And I'm not getting no political discussions. I'm just saying, like, it's still a good much to me.
You know what's crazy about Nolan Ryan? Well, not Nolan Ryan, but with the Mets, it's been their first no-hitter. Like, Nolan Ryan played for the Mets for 5 years and threw seven no-hitters, but not with the Mets. And also, Doc Gooden playing for the Mets for many years, but then he threw a no-hitter, obviously not with the Mets. So it's just interesting that that's the first time that's happened.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yo, we're running mad late anyway. So let me just go to Brent real quick, see what's up. Brent Easley, you're in the war room. Brother, what's up?
What's going on, War Room? I'm riding around and I'm getting it. Listen to Jimmy and Brad's favorite artist, 2 Chainz, in the car right about now.
Oh,
yo, I don't even know who that is.
I'm not even going to tell you that. Because you basically disrespecting me is what you're doing, so I'm going to be quiet.
You got Doc. You chauffeuring Doc Holliday today?
Nah, I ain't chauffeuring Doc Holliday today, man. He had to get his shoulder worked on, man.
Doc injured.
Beat him back real bad.
Cause you gonna be his masseuse.
They were losing Brooklyn there, so it really doesn't matter if he comes back.
Yeah, the Philly.
No run support, man.
Yeah, no run support. I guess the loss of Utley and Howard was bigger than everybody. You know, they didn't think it would be that big of a deal, but obviously.
I mean, how could it not, though? How many RBIs is that missing from the lineup?
That's almost 200 RBIs. That's because y'all spoiled. that's the same thing I'm thinking, Jay. How the hell is that not going to make a difference? That's all those spoiled Philly fans. We get one championship and everybody think we're a dynasty. How the hell can you not miss almost 200 RBIs out of your lineup?
So what you saying is we got one chip and we start acting like the Detroit Pistons fans in 2004.
Oh, I know for you. I'm talking about just people out there that really think that.
Oh, okay.
I know you know the deal.
I hope you don't think I really believe that right there.
Our only chance was for the pitching to be strong, and the pitching has been pretty strong, but we're just not scoring any runs.
Yeah, the pitching's been pretty good, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, Brad, what's your question? What were you asking me?
I don't remember.
Jimmy was asking if you were going to be Doc's masseuse, so.
Hey, I got a question for you. Why we got you on the line, man. Who you got? You got Boston and Miami tonight, man.
I still think Miami going to the finals. I mean, everybody.
Okay.
Knows the whole
thing. Well, you said it on the air now. And you know if they don't, we're going to put this on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. You know, we're going to put you out there.
Well, let me ask you this question. Who do you think is going to win?
Man, we talking about
that
later.
We get to that later.
I think the Thunder are going to.
Well, there's another point I got to make, too, before I go. One thing me and Dev talked about this morning, we text each other back and forth this morning, is about
No, I'm joking. Go ahead, man.
No, the Kevin Durant thing. Why is everybody all of a sudden – Kevin Durant is the greatest thing since sliced bread because he finally when he went to the he's going to the finals and
We live in a prisoner of the moment society that's based on immediacy. Everything is immediate. We have no long term memory, no medium term. Everything
I
is
mean,
immediate.
There is some merit, man. The dude, like 16 years old, man.
No, rap.
I think that's a loaded question. There's so many reasons for it. One, I think there's a lot of anti-LeBron.
That's what we said this morning, is anti-LeBron.
Yeah, it definitely has.
I wonder when did the anti-LeBron come about? Is it because was it because when he said, not one, not two, not three, eight titles?
I can break it down for you.
It's the way he carries himself, bottom line. I can give you a lot of different reasons, but that's what it all boils down to. Is the way he carried himself.
I don't think he's carried himself any different than he did when he was in Cleveland.
Okay, that's fine. We can accept that. Me personally, I can accept that. I've seen the same character traits from him in Cleveland as I did in Miami. Now, it's more pronounced, perhaps, in Cleveland, but, you know.
Because there were people saying that back then, Brent, but, like, everybody was so in love with LeBron that they weren't trying to hear it. I mean, like, there was a whole thing about that Olympic team. Jason Kidd had to play on that Olympic team, not the one that won last time. I think it was the one before that. They had to send Jason Kidd because they needed somebody to babysit LeBron. But if you said that to anybody else, they wouldn't believe you.
Yeah.
They had a
big
expose on Yahoo about that, about how he acted to coaches.
According to our chat room, Kevin Durant also has a better hairline, so that weighs in as well.
but Kevin Durant hair looked like he, I don't know. Like
Hey, Brad, that should have been the pause right there.
True.
Dude, just, all right, but we holler at you. We got to roll on.
All right, I'll just give y'all a shout out. All right. Take care.
All right, cool.
All right, be easy.
All right, B.
All right, everybody, real quick, if y'all want to, because PJ didn't jump on yet, did he?
No, not yet.
No, did you want me to let him know how to get in contact with us, brother?
Go ahead, do that real quick, Broham. You got it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, check out our website at warroomsports.com to call in and speak with us about any of today's topics. Dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. I know you're wondering about the 323. We done came up. We in that Hollywood studio. You know, if you're already listening from your phone, then just press 1 if you want to rap. We'll talk to you.
All right, so since we're running late, we're going to play a quick round. Mind you, brothers, I say a quick round of everybody's favorite game, HOF or FOH. If this is your first time listening, shame on you. Or if this is your first time hearing this, shame on you, because we used to do this segment all the time. But this is how it goes. We, one of us, without telling the rest of the brothers, come up with an athlete in any sport, and we debate whether or not we think that player is worthy of being in the Hall of Fame, which is HOF, or if that player, as far as the Hall of Fame concerns, should just FOH. Y'all can figure out what FOH means on your own. So before we get into that, HOF or FOH is brought to you by Audible. So is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. All right. So HOF or FOH. Today, fellas, we got somebody who just announced their retirement yesterday, and we're going to go into the wide world of boxing with it. So y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Winky Wright, even though he retired also. I'm talking about one Mr. Sugar Shane Mosley. Before we get into the conversation, I'll let y'all know, which you probably already do, that Shane Mosley's career record is a 46-8-1 with 39 knockouts. He recently had a fight with Saul Alvarez, who beat the living trash out of him, and he said he knew after that fight that it was time to retire. I don't think Shane won a fight since, like, 2006, but that's besides the point. So who wants to start us off? Because we got to do this one kind of quick. Austin.
Yes.
Should an eight-loss dude get in the Hall of Fame? I'm going to be objective because y'all know I don't like Sugar Tank at all. I do like Bella, though. I'm going to say HOF.
Okay. No reason y'all why.
I think his overall impact on boxing, I think that he was dominant long enough. I think that he's definitely not a coward. I mean, in this day and age, to keep your pockets lined, unless you're, you know, of a certain stature, you can't afford to be a coward. But he definitely wanted to fight everyone and all comers. So, you know, I appreciate him for that. I do have a problem with him having eight losses because I think that's a little much to get in the Hall of Fame. But I think those losses were at the end
of
his career.
Up at, yeah, at the end of his
at
career.
The end. Yeah, it was at the end. He was still dominant.
That's eight, but, I mean, Mike has six. I mean, you know, it's with the cutoff, seven. I mean, like, you know.
Mike was
how many does Roy Jones have? He doesn't have as many, but, like, he almost died every time he lost.
Roy's in the fight right now.
Roy shouldn't go to the Hall, though.
Roy
shouldn't go to the Hall.
Huh?
I know we're not talking about him. I know we're not rapping about him. I don't think Roy should go to the Hall, but go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone.
I don't know. Roy has eight losses, by the way. Roy has eight losses as well.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing with his losses is, you know, he seemed like he was going to die every time he lost. Shane lost a lot of fights by decision. A lot of them were dominant decisions late in his career. But, you know, as Austin alluded to, and in no way am I taking a shot at anybody else in boxing, but he was the type of dude, he took on everybody, you know, mostly everybody there was to take on in his weight classes. I'm also going to go HOF with Sugar Shane Mosley. Like, we make a lot of fun of dude, but a lot of that really doesn't have anything to do with his fighting or his fighting style per se. So I'm going to go Hall of Fame with Sugar Tank Mosley too.
Yo, I'm going to say
he's
still
like a
great
bull.
He
looks like
yeah.
a bull.
Yeah. I'm gonna say HOF for Mosley. I think it's a close call. I mean, you have to give credit that he did fight all comers once, twice, three, whatever time. He like, hey, you want to fight? Let's fight. It doesn't matter. He fought Mayweather. He fought Pacquiao. He fought De La Hoya, Vernon Forrest. It didn't matter. So, yeah, I'm gonna say HOF.
Yeah, the only reason you named Vernon Forrest is because he beat him twice. Vernon Forrest.
Yeah, I was
you know, rest in peace, but Vernon Forrest was not that good. The only person he could really beat was Shane Mosley.
He did beat Margarito, though. He knocked Margarito out, and he beat Mayorga.
Was that his last win against Margarito?
Yeah, definitely
yeah.
was. Definitely was.
He also knocked out Fernando Vargas in a TKO, who was, like, a viable welterweight
at the time, yeah.
I think with Shane, the reason I would say Hall of Fame is I think, like, before he started, Shane started tripping a little bit later in his career, moving up in weight classes. Like, some people can do that and some people can't. And I think before he started to move up in weight classes up into the welterweight and super welterweight divisions, he was, like, a very good combination of speed, boxing, and power. And I think, like, because even when he fought De La Hoya the first time and he beat him, De La Hoya was on his track downward, but he wasn't down yet. And I think, like everybody has said, he fought everybody who he could, and he never backed down from a fight. And he tried to rematch everybody. And it was to his fault by rematching Vernon Forrest and rematching Winky Wright, who are two guys that are tall, longer, boxers, their styles just didn't match up with Shane Mosley at all.
I think Shane PJ just started chasing that bread at the end of his career.
Honestly, that's the incentive to move up.
Yeah.
Like, because from Pacquiao to Floyd to Shane, these guys start boxing at 130 and end up at the end of their career fighting 155 and 160 somewhere.
In our chat room, somebody brings up a point. They said once he disrespected his pops, he wasn't the same. So, like, once him and his pop had their disagreement.
Yeah,
out
and
game,
then
you know.
Somebody like smashed his nose with a frying pan.
I'm gonna make it unanimous. So I'm gonna give my vote. I'm also going to say Hall of Fame just because I think that as a fighter, a lot of times we get caught up in like once a guy loses to this, like he's not a good fighter anymore. But he did fight. He did fight a lot. Like, you know, even when it comes to Floyd and his undefeated record, like so what? Like, I don't fault him for having 8 losses. He fought some quality opponents as well. And he didn't back down from anybody. And I would have said FOH, but once I saw Bella, never mind, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead, Dad.
No, I was about to tell you, like, I agree with you. I think boxing sometimes can be the most overreactive sport out there. Like, a dude can be dominant his whole career. He lose 1 or 2 fights, and, you know, the post fight interview is always about whether this guy is going to retire or not.
I don't think it needs
to come to that every time somebody takes a loss. Like,
yeah,
you know, what about the 40-something wins that most of these guys get, you know, most of the dominant guys? So, yeah, as much as we crack on Sugar Shane Mosley, looks like he's a unanimous choice for the War Room Hall of Fame. So congratulations to you, Shane, because that is a big honor. It's bigger than regular Hall of Fames because we think that the voting for the regular Hall of Fames
is much more lenient.
It sucks.
Yo, a couple people, this is to bring it up real quick, a couple people in our chat room disagree. Leroy McConnell disagrees, and Scott Buchanan also says, no, they say FOH to him, but, you know, it is what it is.
Did they give a reason, though?
Well,
they're just booing him and stuff.
Scott said he lost everyone that made a difference.
He what?
He said, anyone that he fought that made a difference, in quotation. So anybody he fought that made a difference, he lost to.
That's not true. Cause
he got 2 quality wins against Oscar De La Hoya. I thought one of them was suspect, but he still won.
He beat, even when he beat De La Hoya, he beat Fernando Vargas, he beat
Margarito.
Margarito.
I'm about to say, yeah, Margarito, he knocked him out. Like, well, yeah, it was TKO, but.
He beat Vargas twice, and Vargas at the time was that dude.
He got some quality wins.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, he's a big time. Like, he won a lot of. He was on stage like later in his career when he moved up in weight, but he also did a lot as a smaller fighter in the lower weight classes, like in bantamweight and super bantam and all those weight classes too. So you can't just discard that for like 8 fights when he has like a 40 fight. You know what I mean? 40 fight career.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't discard all those other fights because they were against decent opponents.
And that's the thing,
now
like we said.
Now Leroy is just an Oscar. You can't diss Oscar. Let me tell you something, man. I respect Oscar. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, too many quality wins, man.
They both dissing Oscar now. They're saying that Oscar wasn't the same as Tito. But, you know, it is what it is, man. Let's move on, man.
After he got cheated because he gave Tito a boxing lesson that night.
Did he?
He beat
Tito Trinidad up.
The way Trinidad was the same way that Sugar Ray Leonard beat up Marvin Hagler, who I know you think Ray Leonard's overrated.
Oh, I think Hagler.
All right, somebody.
yo, real quick, I saw this funny. Leroy says Oscar did fight everyone. He didn't duck nobody, but he lost everyone. He lost all his big fights.
he was another one who lost fights near the end of his career.
Funny,
and a couple of them Jones, he got cheated.
He definitely did. To everybody.
Yeah, I mean, he
beat Gotti. He beat Vargas. I mean, he beat the good one. He really beat Trinidad for real. Yeah. But I mean.
Y'all dudes got some selective
he
memory.
Beat Purnell. What about when he beat Purnell Whitaker in 97?
And that was
Purnell
major.
Was 40. That was a joke.
Yeah. That is a joke. That's a joke. I don't want to get into that. We should move on. It's a joke. And
He beat Ike Cortez. People try to say Ike won because Ike beat him in the 12th round, but he dominated dude for most of the rounds. One round not going to get you a fight. So he beat Ike Cortez when he was somebody.
Yo, when we did this when we did an HOF FOH with Robert Horry, did he get in? I don't think he got in, did he?
I don't know.
All right.
I'm going to get a run on my five at the playground right now.
Somebody's asked in the chat room. So, Kamal, Robert Horry, we did Robert Horry a while ago, Paul, of that. We did an HOF FOH. And
I think we got a YouTube of that. I think we got a YouTube of that.
Yeah, that's on our YouTube channel.
Check our YouTube page.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, Robert Horry wouldn't even get a run on my five at the playground right now. Okay.
Robert Horry.
Big shot, Bob.
Whatever. All right, so let's get into some hot topics real quick. Hot topics this week brought to you by Bay Financial Services. You can go to our sponsors page once again and click on the logo for Bay Financial Services and check that website out, get your money right. Tiger Woods, he won the Memorial, and, of course, now he's prepping for the U.S. Open. Tiger, he birdied 3 out of his last 4 holes to make a little comeback on Sabatini last week to win the tournament. You know, he went angry birds. Y'all think Tiger's back? I know every time he wins something, you know, that's the question we ask, is Tiger back?
No.
And we might say yes, we might say yo, no, we might say maybe, and then the next tournament he like stinks it up.
I think he's going to it's kind of like if you look at his career as a sprint, he's so far out ahead of the field that now even though he's sputtering and stumbling towards the end of the tape, he's still going to win the race. And what I mean by that, he's going to end up being recognized as probably the greatest golfer of all time. But we'll never see the dominance that we saw before they caught him.
You know what, though? In golf, they're really – which I don't think is fair because they're really, really big on the number of majors you win. And I don't think he'll ever be recognized as the greatest golfer of all time until he ties or beats Jack Nicklaus's record of 18.
Well, this is,
I don't really think that's cool because in golf, it's not like you're playing against other people. You're playing against the course. Like, Jack's 18 wins, I know, could be a lot different than Tiger's. Like, weather conditions could have been different and a lot of that stuff. I don't understand why they do it that way.
How far away is he from Jack?
Well, he has 14 majors, but he tied Jack with this win at the Memorial for 73 wins overall on the tour. And he's climbed back to number 4 in the world. So, I mean, he's coming back.
He's 36. I think,
of course,
legitimately, he's got 14 to 15 years to beat Jack. And I think over that length of time, I think he can do it. I just don't think it will be done in a dominant fashion.
Right, the way you said, like, he might not get to that point of dominance, that's probably true because dude was on a crazy pace before. But
how dominant
to
was
get
Jack?
Four more, he might not need to be that dominant. What did you say, Jim? I'm sorry.
What time frame did Jack get these wins, though?
It took Jack till 46. It took Jack till he was 46.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think he was playing in way more tournaments than Tiger. That's the knock on Tiger sometimes, how he doesn't play in every tournament. Because, you know, they want, no matter what they say about Tiger, they want and need his presence at every tournament that the PGA Tour goes through. And they say, you know, Tiger, he kind of picks and chooses what he wants to play in. So
well,
he got to
like
73
that.
Way quicker than Jack. Even, you know, his 14 majors that he has, he was on a better pace than Jack. Maybe not age-wise, but as far as how many tournaments they play in. So we'll see what happens at the Open.
My thing is this, though. Like, Dev, you said basically that Jack was playing on miniature golf courses, so it's a different area.
I'm just saying that they can't. Like, how can you compare? Because you don't know, like, a couple of Jack's joints, it might have been windy or not windy.
I think
Tiger could have been
tournament at the joint on like Henry Avenue and like Walnut Lane.
Yeah, that's the joint down the street from the Chiefs they play.
Yeah, from Chubby's in
Dallas Nines Road. Yep.
So Dallas Nines got the best steaks in Philly. That's a whole other story.
Chubby's needs to change the name of that. I do like Dallas Nines.
Chubby's too close to Chewy.
No, but you know, some people call it Chubby, you know what I mean?
Yeah, go ahead.
They call it
excitement.
All right. But,
energy.
Back to Penn State, Jared, the Sandusky trial is going to begin on Monday, and the jury has been chosen. Let me tell y'all the makeup of this jury. Damn, my little printout's been cut off, but it has seven women.
Everybody's from
men.
Penn State, basically.
Yeah, basically, everybody's from Penn State. Let me try to find this because my little printout is messed up. So y'all can – I mean, what do y'all think, though? I mean, y'all know the story. I can tell the audience the makeup after y'all talk about the story, but do y'all think that he has any chance of getting off or
– Guilty. I'm sorry.
Hang him.
I didn't hear you.
Yo.
He said from Penn State, right?
Yeah, I mean, everybody on the jury has some kind of ties to Penn State.
Yeah, they're like students,
all right, here
professors,
we go right here.
Employees.
All right, it's seven women and five men. All right, there's an engineer and administrative assistant at Penn State, a dance teacher at Penn State's continuing education program, a professor who's been on the faculty for 24 years, a Penn State senior, a student, a retired soil sciences professor with 37 years at the school, a man with a bachelor's degree and a master's degree from Penn State, a woman who's been a football season ticket holder since the 1970s. Then one of the four alternate jurors is a woman in her 30s who graduated from Penn State in 07 with a degree in human development. The other three alternates, I'm not sure if they picked those yet, but at the time that I got the story, they hadn't picked them yet. So there'll probably be something from Penn State also. You know, he has 52 counts of child molestation involving 10 alleged victims over a 15-year span. I'm thinking the only person that might have some kind of sympathy for him is the season ticket holder who's been one for like 40 years. So she might hang the jury because she don't want to see anybody from the football program go down. Like, no, when it comes to kids, I don't think anybody's gonna let this dude off if the evidence is overwhelming just because there's children involved.
Yo,
I think all biases would be aside, but
I may be incriminating myself, but like I hope that they do right and put this man away because if he's in my presence, then I gotta go away. So,
but what if he didn't do it?
I can't even play devil's advocate with that one.
So that's why
you
couldn't
know,
so you got him guilty before.
He already guilty.
He guilty
you can
before
tell.
Being proven guilty, basically, right?
Yo, if you look at the bull face, he got
guilty. Damn, he took us back to the Jim Crow days with that one.
Yeah.
Oh, he black. He guilty. All them black guys. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Hey, he was Jim Crow on. Damn,
he did it.
Guilty.
Look, PJ. I'd rather just off him and let God sort it out when we get up there and just know that I was trying to do the right
brother,
thing.
Your
brother
sound like a Klansman.
I'm just trying to do the right thing for the kids, man.
That's true.
That's the problem with this whole case, though, is because of that. The kids. So, I mean, you always want to defend kids the best you can, and, like, just whereas actually, technically, dude is supposed to be tried fair, you know, amongst his peers
That's what I understand, though. I'm not a lawyer. I just play one on TV, but how do you get into a jury where everybody's from the school in question? That means everybody knows everything about the story already. They probably got preconceived notions in their head, like Austin. I don't want to take up for the dude if he is indeed a slime ball, but how is he going to get a fair trial without them moving the venue so they can get the
jury? Man, I'm telling you, just let me off
prosecutor.
Him, and if we all believe in God, God will take care of us both when we get there.
But check it out, though, Austin. Aren't the prosecutors supposed to rip that up? Like, in other words, aren't the prosecutors supposed to, and I'm not really a law guy, and I know, Jim, you got somewhat of a law background, but isn't the prosecution supposed to, like, be like, yo, this jury is unfair? In other words, like, can't they dispute, like, the jury selection? Is that something different?
No, they absolutely can, but I don't know, and I've seen both sides, like, whether this will help or hurt him. Because of pre-makeup, but I guess they agree with it. You know what I mean? Like,
you
think it's a help or hurt them? Because, you know,
I don't know if it'll help them. I don't know if it'll help them just because we said, I mean, it is a small college town, so everybody's from there. I just think they should have moved it. Not even, because I don't know if it'll help or hurt, but I just think everybody in the jury has to know everything about the case. God. The town is small as hell.
The world
knows
at this point. There's no way around that. I'm laughing in that chat room.
They're
bugging.
Everybody's not in the sports. I'm thinking the only thing that could help them would be Penn State people, though. Because, I mean, like, what other type of juror could be in his favor? Like, probably nobody's in his favor. And I know this is all speculation, and I don't know. But if I was to guess, maybe put it like this. If I was on the prosecution, I might say, well, if there's anything that's going to be in Sandusky's favor, it would probably be somebody from Penn State. Now, that doesn't mean it will be, because they could be as outraged as we are. But I guess
I looked at it the other way, PJ.
Penn State wants to separate themselves from him so bad, and they don't want, you know, what he's done to their – he's hurt their school, like, in ways that we don't even understand yet. So they want to punish him for hurting their institution. So –
That's another way to look at it.
I'm biased as a parent, and I know that I'm adding very little value intellectually to the conversation, because I'm just like, look, man, I got a 3-year-old and an 8-year-old. I mean, listen, if I off him, you know what I'm saying?
We ain't got to worry about none of this, dude.
and that way, either he's going to the pearly gates, or it's going to be a little hot for him for the rest of eternity. So,
I heard on the four letters that there were reports of snipers when they were moving him back and forth. Yeah, you heard about that?
Yeah.
I didn't know if
they're gonna have to put when he goes outside, they're gonna have to put a helmet on him, Paul, and they're gonna have to put body armor because some nut that I can relate to is gonna be taking shots at dude.
But after the taxpayers pay for this trial, somebody in jail gonna off him anyway.
They're going to rape him first, though.
As a matter of fact,
They're going to run an Amtrak on him first. Then they go off.
How you like it?
They're going to do a Stella style, that fast train.
Hold on. Yo, our chat room is off the chain, yo. They said, he deserves to die, and I hope he burns in hell.
He sounds like old head from New Jack City.
Yeah, we should have had that Sam Jackson soundbite teed up. That was a good one.
He deserves to die, and I hope he burns in hell.
Yeah, he gonna get Ving Rhames in jail a couple times. He gonna get some guns and butter. But all right, so And NHL news, and this is just news. The Devils, they won 3-1 in Game 4 to stay alive in the Stanley Cup Finals. Being down 3-0, you know, rarely in sports in a 7-game series does that team win. Do y'all give the Devils any chance of coming back to win this series?
No.
1-0. All right. Nah.
About as much chance as Sandusky has of getting off.
Yeah, they got a different format, though, in hockey. Like, Game 5 is actually at their place, so, you know.
It's funny because the Kings, I think, L.A.
They've lost every Game 4 in the playoffs. They've gone up 3-0 in every series.
Right. And they won a lot of games on the road, haven't they? Like, they've been like road warriors.
Yeah, because the Game 4 is at home that they lost. Well, I think most of them were at home.
Right.
But, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I still think it's too steep of a mountain to climb, though.
Yeah, I feel the same way. In the NBA, the Washington Wizards retained Randy Whitman as a head coach. Does that mean anything? Can anybody help this team with the roster as it is currently constituted?
Not at all.
Yo, I would rather have you coach John Wall, Devin, than what they got going on, man. Come on.
They need Randy Watson from Coming to America. That's the Randy they need.
Randy Watson. Yeah, because Randy Whitman is not exactly a successful coach in the NBA. Like, he has
That's another case of the recycling that you always talk about. Like, how do these guys continue to get jobs and they're not good coaches?
I don't know. With him, pretty much, it may be a case of there's not too many people out there who's left
that want the job.
Take that job.
That want the
job. Probably just said the hell with it. And plus, if he can do anything, because he doesn't cater to the players like Flip Saunders did. But I think Flip did with everything he did because he was trying to get fired. But if he can help improve the team and they can do some stuff through the draft and free agency, they'll probably have him stick around until the job gets more attractive and then can him for a better coach to take him over.
That may be 30 years.
Damn.
Yo, Kamal said, blow it up. Everybody but John Wall.
Yeah. But,
I mean,
that's
setting
them back another 6 years. Like,
hey, but real quick, Randy Whitman plays for the Atlanta Hawks.
I think he did back in the day.
So that's the same dude. Remember when Nick and Bird were going at it for like 40 apiece, and Bird was roasting everybody? Was Randy Whitman the white guard that?
He was in that game.
Like 20-something that game. Okay.
Yeah, Randy Whitman, he was in that game. He kind of looked like John Kerry to me. But
he
looked like a younger version of John Kerry. All right, so y'all don't think that matters in Wizard Land. The Lakers exercised a $16.1 million option on Bynum, so he won't be a free agent this summer, restricted free agent this summer. Jimmy, resident Lakers fan, that's cool with you? Or do you think it means anything? It might be a sign and trade type thing.
Exactly.
You know?
I don't think it means anything right now. Right now, that doesn't really mean anything at all. So we'll see what happens long term.
Do you want him there? Because I mean, I know for a while he started to get into your favor. He started to get into my favor, and then
I thought about this long and hard. Pause that one. And if they have a chance to get Dwight, I definitely would take Dwight. And I think he's at a disadvantage because of the way he plays. The game has completely changed. Everything's pick and roll. There is no more back to the basket, which is how he plays like an old school center. You need someone that can defend the pick and roll and who has athleticism, which is why Dwight is still the best center in the game. Because the game is just not played the same way it was in, say, the 80s or the 90s, where, you know, centers could be the focal
back
point.
Back to the basket.
And from the post, back to the basket. That's gone.
So basically he's being punished in the league because he got skills.
It has a lot to do with the hand check rule too. When they remove the hand check rule, the game is sped up. The game is just played different, and a lot of it is because of the rules that change. Like when they change the rules in sports, it changes the way the game is played and changes the way you have to you compete as an athlete.
I mean, I definitely agree with you. That's the way that the game has gone. But it's kind of a shame because you know, we really can't even find that many big men in the league with skills these days, back-to-the-basket skills. That's like a lost art. And when you, you know, you have some, they kind of suffer because the game has moved on from that. I mean, you got, like,
exactly.
Bynum, you got Jefferson in Utah, you know, cats like that.
Listen, I mean, it's a couple things that changed it. Handshake being gone and zone. They put the zone in the game. So you're just not as effective.
Hey, y'all forgetting the five-second rule. Remember when Mark Jackson and Barkley would hold the ball for 10 seconds and post up?
Now it's only three, five seconds,
so that's a rule, too.
There's three rule changes right there that affected. So he's kind of like he came along at a bad time. If he would have came along in, like, the early 90s, he would have, you know.
You know what, though? And I guess I buy what you're selling to a degree. But here's the thing. Basketball is always going to be basketball. And it's always going to be good quality coaching and schemes is always going to be predicated on getting easy shots. And so an easier shot is a closer shot to the basket than that pick and pop stuff. I mean, granted, your big men now are you're as valuable if you pick and pop as you are as back to the basket. But I just think that he has a whole lot of value. And who's to say that the Lakers couldn't build around him and go in the opposite direction from the current trend? I mean,
well, the
NBA
claim.
Is just like
that's
the NFL.
That's what they claim they're going to do. They claim that, you know, they're going to build around him for the future.
But often,
like we said, I think if they have an opportunity to get Dwight, it might be too enticing.
It's the rule changes. Big men used to be able to post up, get the ball, you know, take their time to do it. They can't do that anymore. That's one rule change.
Some of the pick and pop, yeah, that's true. And I agree
with
both.
The game has changed. A lot of the pick and pop stuff.
Yeah, some of that pick and pop stuff too is to get the opposing big man out of the lane as well, to get him out on the perimeter so that you can
work
more.
Right,
you can't guard the pick and roll. He's a cowboy guarding the pick and roll.
If your big man can't stroke a J these days,
yeah,
or you know, I mean, because the White can't either, but he has so many athletic abilities that mask everything that he can't do. You know, because dude, back to the basket game is trash, but he's still the best center in the league just because of, you know, how big his shoulders are.
He's strong as hell, too. His athleticism and his strength is tough for, you know.
Ain't nobody else that can match that.
Like,
your man is the best center in the league and can't play basketball.
He's the best center that can't play center.
The game has changed to a point where being an athlete makes a huge difference. If you look at when the Lakers play, Bynum is always slow to get back because he's just slow. He's a slow guy.
He's lumbering, yeah.
Especially when it's Orlando, Dwight just runs like a deer and just gets down like court and gets a dunk. But, yo, it looks like Bynum is cherry picking.
Between those two, you know, because, you know, I did say earlier, you know, late in the season that I think the disparity between those two is much closer than people think. But when they do go head-to-head, Andrew Bynum, he looks like a different player. Like I said, Dwight is not even that skilled, but the stuff that he does, he kind of runs circles around Bynum, and he doesn't look dominant when they play against each other. You can even look at something like the All-Star game. Like, Dwight made him look like he didn't even belong at the All-Star game.
Because he can't run. He can't run. The game has completely changed with the zone being in place, so you just can't toss it into the big guy no more and just, like, move out the way. That's how it used to be. You throw it into Hakeem, David Robinson, Kareem, just throw the ball in and move. You can't do that no more. That's not how the game is played. Now you got teams zoning up. You can't, like Akil said, the five-second rule is in place now. So it's a situation where he just came along at a bad time.
It's kind of synonymous with checking a receiver 5 yards past the
exactly.
line of scrimmage because
it
speeds the game up.
And like Kamal brought up a point too. He's also a headache, and we didn't even talk about that.
He's a jerk. Something wrong with him.
I think he acts
the way he acts because Jim Buss allows him to do that by instilling so much confidence in the fact that he's his guy. I think he just thinks he can do anything and say anything he wants.
Last week his soundbite, when they asked him what he was going to do next year, he was like, man, I don't care, I play anywhere. I don't know if y'all heard that sound. He's like, I don't care, I play anywhere. Now, I don't know if he meant it maliciously, but it just don't sound right when you say that.
the boy said they pay out there too, don't they? Like, damn.
Yeah. Hey, look,
I know, right?
With all that
rule change,
real quick, speaking of rule change, imagine how many more games the Sixers would have won off the Indiana Pacers in the playoffs if Mark Jackson couldn't post AI for 15 seconds.
I mean, rule changes a lot of times affect the games, and the average fan doesn't pay attention to that, but it kind of changes the game. It changes who's more dominant. Could Mark Jackson even be the player that he was with that rule in place? Because he's a good
game then off. You had the double, then they swung it to Mullen, they swung it to Miller, and then, like, either they hit a three or a Smith at the top of the key.
You know, Barkley used to get the ball and, like, just back you down for, like, 20 seconds out of the 24-second shot clock.
He would sit on you for a second. Sit on your knee.
Sit on your leg.
Sit down on, like, your upper thigh, like, seriously. And just wear you, back you down. Like, get that leverage.
With all that said, though, you know, if Philly was an option for him, you know, come on, I'll take him.
Yeah. I'll pick you up. Where you want me to meet you at?
Yeah, Brand needs to be
you're
going to
get him from the airport.
Brand needs to be empty.
All right, last thing I want to ask you fellas about before we get into a little football talk. Did y'all hear about this whole Bobcast thing? We know that the franchise is struggling. They're having a hard time making money. But they got a deal that says if you buy full-price season tickets for this upcoming season, you get free season tickets for the following season. Yo, how desperate How long is MJ going to own this team, man?
Yo, man. Yo, Michael Jordan used to be my hero, dog.
Yo,
Michael used to be my hero, man. But now I'm a businessman, and it just pains me to see. Yo, what's wrong with this dude?
Hey, Sam, they're going to be playing in a high school gym down there in 14, 15. They're going to be in a high school gym.
Buy one, get one free on the season. For season ticket.
Yo, Mike
they're essentially paying you to come. They're essentially paying you to come.
He might as well sell tickets on an infomercial.
At like 2 a.m. in the morning, Jim. At like 2 a.m. right after the P90 commercial.
When I get into my who's better arguments with Jimmy, all Jimmy got to do is look at your man's ownership skills, and then I can't really.
And his gear.
And his gear.
No, but seriously, y'all, like, driving-wise, I'm good, 6 hours from Charlotte? I'm thinking about getting some season tickets. Because if they're going to be free the next year, like, I can go when I want, and I got people in Charlotte, so if I don't use them, I can, you know, give them away. And
that team is hard.
But they season tickets. I can go down there.
No, it doesn't matter. They're so bad. That's not even a deal.
I can come down there when the good teams come and watch them practice.
That's exactly what it is, a scrimmage.
Hey, Seth, this is what you could do. Yo, you could buy the first season, right? And then with the second season, you only have to go to a game. You can just sell every single ticket on StubHub way in advance.
And I can sell them right back. No, but Jim, I can sell them cheap. Jim, listen. If I sell every seat for $10 a seat and they good seats, I made a profit. I'm not gonna get rich off that, but I made a profit.
Nobody wants them at $10, which is why they're doing what they're doing.
Which is the reason they're giving out free tickets.
As a matter of fact, you're gonna call StubHub and somebody's gonna say, "We'll give you $10 to take these tickets."
That's crazy, man.
Like I told y'all before,
I don't see a light at the end of that tunnel, man.
Like I told y'all before out there, Michael Jordan is the Michael Jordan of bad owners.
Yo, Michael Jordan is trying to George Bush that franchise, man. The next dude going to come in like Obama.
George Bush the buck.
Straight up, man. He's got George Bush them joking.
Yeah. You know what, though? Bob Johnson might have done that, though. He saw Mike coming on that.
Yeah.
You know, he saw a naive dude.
How about this? Not only did he see Mike coming and get his cash out and sell it for more than he bought it for, but he still retained an equity interest in the Bobcats, so he still owns a piece of the Bobcats.
So if he happens to make a profit, then dude still get paid, but that's not going to happen.
Still eating.
Yeah, he definitely got him.
He probably wasn't even going to do that to Mike until he saw how Mike was dressed when they came to the meeting. He said, anybody that's going to come in here like this, they deserve to get burned.
Yeah.
This is a lesson in hero worship, man, for all y'all. Never mind. Go ahead.
Listen, everybody, check out our website, of course, at warroomsports.com to call in and speak to us about any of tonight's topics. Dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk, and we'll try to get to you. Jimmy, you got it, brother, and I'll screen that.
No doubt, no doubt. Let's talk about the NFL real quick. Before I get into this, the NFL Cap is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer or your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry, your Palm phone. But if you do have a BlackBerry or a Palm phone, go to the roof of your house and jump off. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Go to our website, warroomsports.com, and click on the Stitcher logo. Or go to stitcher.com/thewarroom, one word, and you can download it right there. Remember, when they ask you for a coupon code, put the War Room, one word, because that will enter you into a contest to win thousands of dollars, and we all know you love money just like we do. At any rate, let's get into some football. Tom Coughlin. Giants head coach Tom Coughlin gets an extension. He gets a two-year extension. Is 2 years enough for a guy that's already won two Super Bowls? Like, it seems like a disrespect, Tom Coughlin. What do you guys think?
I think it's age.
I was just about to say that. Yep. I think it may have something to do with his age.
Boy, like 70.
Yeah,
they
can at least
fire him every week.
Yeah, they can still at least give him a 4-year joint. You know what I'm saying? If he gets a little too old, you can throw him the money just for what he did. But I agree with y'all. I think it probably is age related. But at the same time, when has it ever seemed like the Giants gave this dude any respect?
He's
always on the hot seat. He's always about to get run out of town. And every time his seat gets really hot, he wins a Super Bowl. Like, when are they going to start respecting this dude?
They probably threatened to fire him after he signed the contract.
That's how
they disrespect this young
man. And I think a lot of the players, but I think it was a lot of that upheaval within the team because they didn't like the way he came in. I mean, he really probably wasn't that highly respected coming from Jacksonville he took them to the playoffs a couple times down there. But remember the stories about him and Strahan and not getting along? And, like, Strahan, he wanted people to come 15 minutes early to the meeting. Strahan came 5 minutes early, and they had a big fallout. So I think – I don't know if it was the players getting, like their issues with him, making it all the way up to upper management and, you know, clouding their perception of the guy. But, like Zev said, yo, every time he has to deliver, he delivers, man. Like, I mean, not every time, but, I mean, that team, like, stumbles into the playoffs and then just – you know, win Super Bowls. So, I don't know. I would give him, I'd say he's worth more, but I wonder if they offered him like 4 and he said, nah, give me 2. Now, I don't know. I doubt he would do that, but maybe he had plans. I doubt he would do that, but I mean, maybe he got plans with his grandkids or something. I don't know.
No, because I'll take the 4, and if after 2 you want to quit, you quit, you don't get paid. If after 2 they fire you, you still get paid. So, I'm like, no, man. I don't want 2 bowls, man. I'd ask for 7.
You're going to be 87. I don't care.
Is that a call we have on line, yo?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Let's get to the homie real quick. I'll bring him on right now. Let's talk to Naeem in B-more from Philadelphia. Let me make sure I say that right.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy. It's okay. Y'all upset me today. Give the young man Kevin Durant his props. They lost to the Lakers in the second round 3 years ago when we won our chip. They lost to Dallas last year and in the Western Conference Finals, and they did something in history this year. The young man, they balling. They did something in history. You got to take your hands off on them.
We respect that.
I heard my brother from a different mother, Brent Easy, talking about the Kevin Durant. You know, it's like immediate, but they went through a struggle and they winning.
That's because Brent is a LeBron apologist.
He's not even getting. I gave him his props last week, and I'm not gonna say nothing. I'm gonna keep that to myself because Paul Pierce, the old heads, gave him young boys some work. I'm gonna leave it alone.
Yo,
and that's all to it.
Oh,
gave him some
God,
work.
It's the truth.
Gave him some work. The truth. He got that name for a reason. And he
Kevin Durant is. What, 23 years old?
23.
We're
watching a great player in the making at a young age.
Yeah, he's not supposed to be.
I don't think there's one person that I've ever talked to that dislikes Kevin Durant. I mean, everybody likes the guy.
Yo, but I've seen today, though, Jimmy. I think a bunch of new people dislike Kevin Durant today, and it has nothing to do with anything but LeBron.
But here's the thing, though.
You saw that little conversation we had, that came out with a slander.
They didn't even disrespect him. They even gave him his props. It's like the ones that are LeBron fans, they didn't say, you don't like KD. They were just saying, like, everybody. They were going at people for giving KD props.
You know why they don't like KD?
Why crap on his parade? In defense of somebody that nobody was even talking about. Like, why don't they even get brought up because we're congratulating them.
I'm just glad that they left Kobe alone. It used to be Kobe, but now they have a new Kobe.
Oh, come on. But you can't mention Kobe and LeBron name in the same sentence.
Not one, not two, not three, but all the people who are LeBron fans, they automatically would slander Kobe just because they're LeBron fans. But they had somebody new now.
You can't mention his name, though. I gave him his props, and I overstepped. I forgot who said it. Like, you might be speaking too early, man. And I think I did.
But even with that being said, here's something that Dad brought up that I think is true. I would pick Boston at this point, but the series is not over.
I mean, that series is over. KG said it best last week. I'm a skilled at my craft. I'm 35, 36. Boy, put in work last week. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to get to that in the show. And Kevin Durant, I give him a lot of props because he stayed with his team. He stayed with a team that got transferred from Seattle to Oklahoma, and he stayed with them and renewed his contract. He didn't run and do a big thing on TV and all this and that. And that's what Austin was trying to explain
to somebody on our Facebook page today. Like, you know, the dude isn't worried about being in a certain place because the place is cool. He don't really go out and party like that. You know, he just works on his craft. And, you know, he does what y'all do.
I've actually watched the bull grow up, man. Like, I remember him in the gym, and actually keep it 100% funky. I remember watching him in the gym getting his ass bust by Michael Beasley in them one-on-one workouts. Like, I've seen him grow, and he's always been humble. The first year, his rookie year with the Thunder, he would come home to the same little-ass house in District Heights, playing video games, hanging out with the same friends. He didn't go to the club. He'd be down Berry Farms in the projects playing basketball summer or working out. Man, he's just a humble, down-to-earth, grounded young man. And at that age, at 23, I mean, it's really not a knock to LeBron, but it's obvious that the LeBron apologists see the holes in their man's character, which is why they feel they got to knock dude down a peg.
Because they feel like they have to say anything. People are just congratulating Durant. What does that have to do with LeBron James?
I mean, if you look at their upbringing, I mean, you haven't seen KD's mom getting locked up or getting, you know, smacked.
Yo, y'all stupid, man. We got to move on. All right,
y'all go. Have a good one, man. Y'all crazy. All
right, man. Holler at us next week.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about football.
You stupid. Well, I mean, hurry up so we can get back to that at the end.
Let's hurry up. Joe Banner is out in Philly. I don't have any thoughts at all on this. I've heard so many rumors. I don't know it's true. Doesn't really matter. Anybody have any thoughts on Joe Banner?
Yeah, only that I think, you know, because the rumor started as him being fired. But what I heard it was like a succession plan that's already been in the works for a while. And a lot of people were saying that's probably why the Eagles went ham in free agency last year, because he was trying to see if he could get one before, you know, he had to move on with that succession plan. Also heard that he's looking to get into an ownership team and maybe buy a football team. So he's looking at bigger dough right now. I really don't think he got fired. So I think he was pretty good in Philadelphia. You know, Eagles fans, the fact that they haven't delivered a Super Bowl, you know, they look at everything as – being a failure, but I think he was pretty good at what he did. That's my thought.
Joe Banner, I agree with that.
Joe Banner is masterful.
He is masterful. He's one of the best front office men in the league to be able to keep an NFL franchise competitive from a salary cap standpoint for over a decade. Yo, he's masterful, man.
I was about to say real quick that a lot of people don't even realize when Norman Brayman was trying to get a new stadium built in the state of Pennsylvania, the city of Philadelphia told him to go kick rocks, and Jeffrey Lurie came in, it was Joe Banner that really did that deal and got that in the works, got that in motion. It was all of Joe Banner, and Jeffrey Lurie will tell you that. It was a lot of what Joe Banner did to get that stadium built, the NovaCare complex built. I heard interviews
Joe
real
Banner
quick
got
from
a mean paperwork game.
He do. I heard interviews today from Dawkins, Trey Thomas, Westbrook, and Jeremiah Trotter, and all of them in separate interviews. And they all said that, yo, they really didn't like him, but you're really not going to like him. He's the other guy on the other end of the table. It's like the player and their agent, and then it's Joe Banner over there. And Joe Banner is the one that orchestrated taking Jeffrey Lurie's $100 million investment pretty much and making it a $1.1 billion investment or whatever it is now. So, I mean, a lot of people will hate him from a player standpoint, but from a business standpoint, he did work. Yep.
Yeah, he was smart as hell, PJ, because like you said, you know, the players can't like him because he's the dude you're negotiating against, you know, when it's time to get your contract. And then you have fans of, you know, teams outside of Philadelphia who always want to make cracks, oh, the Eagles achieve this and that with their players. But every player that was worth re-signing and they re-signed, they got them for a price that was way below what, you know, most of these other teams would have paid. So I don't look at that as being cheap. I look at that as being smart. He never had to overspend. And the key word is what Jimmy said. The dude is a capologist. His math game is like that. The Eagles' salary cap position was always good under Joe Banner. So, you know, the average fan will get mad because you might see a draft pick that failed, so you're getting upset, all that. He was a bust. He didn't make it. But they're not looking at the deeper things of what a president GM has to do.
And a lot of people don't recognize, like they say, well, they haven't won a championship. That may be true, but do you remember the Rich Kotite days?
In the Super Bowl. You remember them days when like a championship wasn't even on the radar? Like the preseason when you stake your goal, if you said that, you get laughed at. We're gonna win a chip.
Yeah. And it's not Banner's fault they didn't win a chip. It's not his fault that, you know, in the fourth quarter that certain things didn't go they were supposed to when the supposed leader of the team didn't do the thing that they were supposed to do. That's not his
fault. I mean, it might have been Banner's fault that he kept paying that joker $100 million. But...
let me get you guys' opinion on this real quick. An arbitrator ruled that Roger Goodell, a.k.a. Dumbledore, he indeed has the power to punish players for Bountygate, and player appeals will be heard by him.
Arbitrator's scared. That's all.
Yo, Roger Goodell is that dude, bottom line.
I mean, it's nobody's fault but the players and the Players Association.
Y'all keep
you
calling
didn't
Roger
do anything
Goodell.
About
y'all
got
to take that Dell off that.
Yo, that man is Dumbledore. He runs everything, man. Don't nothing happen to him. Yo, a nickel bag.
You can't complain about something you didn't fight against during collective bargaining, you know, during collective bargaining. They were so pressed not to miss time and, you know, to be able to pay their child support and stuff that they let the deal go by without addressing certain problems. So now that he's judge, jury, and executioner, everybody's mad about that. Then why'd you let it go down?
Roger Goodell got his hands everywhere. He's that dude. Roger Goodell is like Paulie on Good Coach. Anyway.
He the new Frank White.
Let's talk about your man, Terrell Suggs.
I blame it on Cro-Martin.
So hard.
Your man Ball So Hard University, man. He's talking. He know he got injured his Achilles, and now people are pitching on him saying he really did it. What's up with your man,
T. Sizzle? They're so bad that his head coach felt sorry for him and said, "We just want you to get well, man. Don't worry about the snitches."
Yo, this dude at a gym, Sonny Hoffman, he's the director of the Aiken Gymnasium in Maricopa, Arizona, where this basketball tournament was held that weekend. Just, you know, came out and told the people, like, he got hurt Sunday prior to the championship game. They asked a couple of more people who had something to do with the league, and they confirmed it. Like, yeah, you know, when he got injured, it pretty much looked like, you know, that's what happened. He was holding his Achilles. They actually tried to get him medical help, but he he left and refused medical help. So you know right there that he knew, like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So let me get out of here. I'm not going to get no medical help from here because I don't want that to be on record. And he kept trying to maintain that he was doing short shuttles and stuff, working out for the season. But now you got a bunch of people saying, like, that might be the bad part, because I thought, okay, maybe Baltimore might show a little compassion, maybe not give him his whole salary, but maybe give him something. But now that, you know, they probably know for sure that he's been lying, you can't really blame anybody if he doesn't get his, you know, if he doesn't get anything this year.
Cover-up is always worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, no. I will say this. Down here in Texas or in the Dallas area, Tony Romo plays in basketball leagues every summer. All the time.
It's
Cowboys.
Not that you're not allowed to play, but if you get hurt, it's kind of like play at your own risk. If you get hurt, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? They reserve the right to do what they got to do. So. I don't know. Smack him. He don't play for my team, and we play against him this year, so I don't want nobody to be hurt. But
that's
you
good
for
us.
Fun's on hold, man.
That's
anyway,
one less
man,
time
so
Mike Vick.
On, man.
That's one less time Mike Vick gonna get hit this year, man.
Let's talk NBA playoffs. Take it over and talk some NBA playoffs,
all right, let's go back into these playoffs since you know Naeem called in and got us started anyway. So we might as well just go ahead and get into that. The Thunder. Let's go right into that. I mean, the last time we were on the air, the Spurs were up 2-0 on a 20-game winning streak, and everybody was wondering how the Thunder would get a game out of this series. They went on to win four straight and win the series. What the hell happened, fellas? What did y'all see that
they grew
turned
up.
This series around to the point where
I
big bad Spurs couldn't even get another win?
The thing that I saw, which no one's really talking about, is I saw Scott Brooks do a masterful job of matching wits with Pop in terms of making adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing, like, some of the small wrinkles he did in terms of switching how Parker was guarded and just little things, little wrinkles that he put in their offense as well as defense to change the series. And, I mean, he's becoming a great coach. And what's crazy is he's one of those backup – all those backup point guards that become good coaches. I don't know what that's about, but, you know –
because they get to sit there and watch and learn so much, like, you know.
They listen and watch. Like the
backup point guard, especially when you – most of the time he was older than the guy who started in front of him. So, you know, he sat, watched, probably was close to the coach, and he probably was the one giving the dude advice because the dude in front of him, like, he could teach it, but he probably couldn't do it.
He played behind Cheeks to start his career, right? He played behind Cheeks.
Cheeks is now behind him.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? That is crazy. Cheeks is an assistant. Like, you my young boy now.
Yeah. That's what I saw. I saw that, and, I mean, you know, we've already talked about how KD is playing out of his mind. Dez's favorite player is once again going back to the finals. He's always competing for a championship. And for those who don't know, Dez's favorite player is Kendrick Perkins.
He the truth. He's better than
quick side note, does anybody at that height miss as many layups at the rim as Kendrick Perkins?
I would say that too, but he
don't get that much clock, though.
He don't get that many attempts.
So many layups. They ducks. They be right damn like this. This man has many tips. He must be working
hard. I can't prove it, TJ, but it got something to do with the size of his mouth. Pause.
Hey, TJ. Like, he's always, his face is so mad, and his facial muscles are so tense that by the time he's ready to let the ball go into the basket off the backboard, it's just off.
He don't have no dad. Like,
did
you got to
see him,
test,
did any
even
see him trying to punk Tony Parker, and Tony Parker laughed at him in French?
Yeah. How you laughing
in French?
Yo,
you laughing in French?
Yo, the funny thing to me, did y'all see when they interviewed his son, yo? His son was bugging, man.
His son
ain't too bright.
He got a little mouth.
Craig Sager interviewed his son.
How old is he?
He's a little kid. But he's funny. Yo, he's funny though. But the thing is, they had the camera on him. He was chumping all the young boys playing with him.
He got a little mouth.
Is his mouth bigger than his pops?
Yeah,
probably.
Yo, that's hilarious.
Okay,
yeah,
and
hilarious.
For anybody out there who's a little slow, Jimmy was definitely being sarcastic. Because I think Kendrick Perkins is the biggest waste of he's the biggest waste of praise I've ever seen. He's a crumb.
Yo, but here's the thing, though.
Yo, wherever you got that praise from, bring it back. Bring it back to man. He's a
bring
crumb.
It, you got it before.
Yo, bring it, you got it
yo
before.
Remember how the people at Boston was like, yo, they was Boston was gonna be no more because he left that squad.
Mono was ready to retire with Spinning.
I know. But all of the prognosticators, though, it was just like, yo, you can't lose a guy like that. But anyway, that's what he was saying, though. But like Jimmy was saying, like Jimmy said, too, they did make a lot of adjustments. I mean, I think because in the first two games, that pick and roll was killing them.
Oh, they were
and I
killing
think, weren't they? I mean, and Tony Parker off of that pick and roll and those extra passes, and I think though that's what Scotty Brooks, I think some of his adjustments
things.
Started there.
I think they kind of became.
Wasn't Cephalosha put on them? Go ahead.
They started making an extra pass.
Right.
Instead of just going one-on-one like they were in the first two games.
They was putting Westbrook. Westbrook kind of stepped up to the challenge on Tony Parker, got tired of Tony Parker just man-juicing him in the face for two games.
That's not what happened. They switched him. He didn't even guard Parker the whole game.
Yeah, I know. And then they put Cephalosha in. Cephalosha's length, no Skittles, was a problem for Parker. And then if you think about it, Ibaka, when you switch that screen, kind of going back to the conversation we had about your man Bynum, having somebody like Ibaka who, when you switch off and have him for those 2-3 seconds guarding a guard, you know, he can slide his feet a little bit. They had them kind of trap Tony Parker to have Parker get rid of the ball instead of trying to fight over those screens. So, you know, that was a real big difference I saw defensively. But Westbrook got better. They switched it out. They put Thabo on him, and they started trapping. But
yo,
I saw Westbrook play a lot better defense. And then your man with the beard, yo. Muslim pride, man.
The biggest beard. But, yo, here's something else that I noticed that I read this, which is funny, is that your man Cephalosha, him and Tony Parker have been friends since they were, like, little kids. So it's also where he's been playing basketball with him for, like, 20-plus years at this point.
You know how
play ball with somebody for a long period of time?
You know everything they do.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he played with this ball since they was little kids, but he knows a little bit about his game. So there isn't so much, you know.
That's why Kill can't get his Pistol Pete off on me.
Kill said he'll give you 40.
I'll give him 50 right back.
Yo, you know what's crazy about that? Me and Brad, like, I'll be cooking, like, all-star type dudes or cats that's about to go to college, do this. Then I go up against Brad, and then my moves don't work. I'm like, come on, man.
That's the point I make it, Kiel. When you play with somebody, like, especially coming up playing with them, it's like you know a lot of their moves, and people may think I'm joking, but I think that makes a difference.
And my moves always work.
My moves always work.
Yo, like Bo said to Austin on Facebook, ask your mom. my moves always work.
Come to Philly and get your jaw broke. Dev got one move. Shoot. X button.
Jack.
My spin move can't be guarded, even if you know it's coming. Come on, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy, though, because we were wondering how they would even get a game. But like I said, they kind of turned into the Spurs, started making an extra pass.
They grew up.
And if you're making an extra pass and you that much more athletic than the other team, then they grew up.
And your man Perkins actually, I know I'm going back to Perkins, I don't think I'm joking, but he actually fits it well with the team. He's played for two teams where his limited skills actually, can help the team succeed, so to speak. Like he basically guarded Duncan one-on-one for a lot of that, and that took away. Once they put Cephalosha on him on the pick and roll, he's like you said, his length bothered him. No Skittles.
Yeah. Who did they play? Who did they play in the previous round?
They played the Lakers. They beat the Lakers, Lakers, Mavericks, and the Spurs.
And the Spurs.
The All right.
So it was the early two games. Dude was essentially a mismatch, and Perkins was in the way. But towards the end of that, you know, the last few games, he's been all right.
Because of the adjustments. Because it got to the point where when the pick and roll didn't work, they start posting Timmy late in the shot clock, And, you know, basically he D'd him up. He played him one-on-one. If you can guard him one-on-one after you stop the pick and roll, it's like that started to affect him.
My Durant go hug his mom, though. It was like 14 seconds.
It was 14 seconds.
Yo, your mama's, mama's boy.
Yo, his relationship, any chick that he dates, I envision his relationship with his mom like the boy Malik from the game and his mom. Like, they probably live in the same big crib somewhere. But anyway, I digress.
Let's talk about the other
series.
All
right, let's go to the next series with the Celtics and the Heatles. Kind of almost the same story, but, except for the fact that this one isn't over yet. Last time we were on the air, the Heat were up 2-0. Boston had blown a game that it looked like they should have won. Everybody was pretty much wondering how and where Boston could pull out a win. What the hell happened, fellas?
I know exactly what happened. KG started drinking Noni juice.
Taking CQ10 and all that.
KG realized that he should be taking advantage of the fact that he has to go up against Haslam and Joel Anthony and the likes of those dudes.
I'm gonna give Haslam a little bit of props, even though he don't shave that Brillo on his face. Haslam has been balling, but even on his best day, if you gave KG the Ebola flu, KG is way better than dude. So KG is just doing what he's supposed to do.
Giannis Haslam looks like Abraham Lincoln, the Vampire Slayer. But here's the thing: when they put Joel Anthony in the game, if you watch the game when Anthony's in,
he's not better than me.
He's on one side, so he's able to rest. He's able to rest on the other side because Joel doesn't even try to do anything on offense.
He can rest and he can show on all of the pick and rolls and pick and pops because you don't have to respect anybody.
Now, when
they pick and roll with Bosh, you got to stay with Bosh because Bosh can hit.
Exactly. That's the difference right there.
You can't
do that with Bosh there.
But for what they're getting from Joel Anthony, I'd rather just call up Walter Woods and pay Walt like $350,000 because, he's better than Joel, man. Shout out to my man Walt. He's better than Joel Anthony. He can airball layups. So he just is like, ooh, I'm not going to do anything on offense.
And if you look at the offense, like we always talk about Doc and like drawing up plays, and I think it's just a different dynamic. Like I think like at least the Celtics, they try to run sets and they try to run plays, and I mean it doesn't work. They don't work all the time. They don't execute them all the time, but at least they try to do that. I feel like with the Heat, it's still getting back into this kind of like LeBron or D Wade.
The plays are set. And I'm tired of people blaming it on Spo. The plays are called and these dudes don't run it. Now a part of that is LeBron and a part of that is D Wade, and then a part of that is also the other three dudes they're on the court with, because the other three dudes kind of just try and get out of the way and they go to the corners or they go to the wings instead of, like, if you notice the Spurs and the Thunder on the weak side, away from the ball, they always moving. They're running action. Yo, Mike Miller, bless his heart, he can't walk. So he just stands there.
Thaddeus just stands
in the corner, and Mario Chalmers, deep down in his heart, thinks that he's as good as the big three.
But now that they're down in the series.
The player's not respecting you. Isn't that a part of coaching as well?
Well, that's not really your fault if if Pat Riley puts you in a situation where he makes you the coach, and then a year later, he bring in, he has three of the top 15 players in the league on the team. The egos are crazy. They're not gonna really respect dude.
You gotta get like Kobe and just prove a point and sit their ass down like you just bench him even though y'all was a smash.
These dudes are superficial. They're not gonna respect somebody that they don't know or doesn't have a history. But how's the dude gonna get a history? He's been thrown into the lions then, basically.
He definitely has.
Speaking of history, real quick, speaking of history, they can't bring in Phil Jackson because apparently Phil Jackson and Pat Riley have an acrimonious relationship where they're always trying to one each other. So now all you have left is what? Larry Brown, maybe?
No.
They wouldn't want to play with Larry Brown because they remember they don't like to play a lot of minutes. They complain about minutes and they say – Like, they even with Spo, they said at one point he was going too hard in practice.
I'm and like, here's the thing, though.
What the?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Like, they do run an offense. They run the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air offense. Like,
get
the
ball
to Will.
Get the ball to Will. Get out of the way.
Uh-huh. Yep. Exactly. They run the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air offense, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. But by me saying all that and agreeing with that, it's not necessarily me saying that Spo is a great coach, because I don't know enough about him to even say that he's a great coach, but I'm pretty sure that he doesn't get the kind of respect that a more accomplished coach would say.
What,
but that's
what,
that's a lot of people use excuses when, you know, when they pick the Heat to win or pick LeBron's team to win every year, and they don't, then the excuses got to start flowing.
Then it's everybody
when they
else
win, it's all them. But when they lose, it's all Spo. You can't have it both ways.
Question for y'all, and it's kind of two-part. So when Bosh was in the game, plus minus, it was minus 14. What effect did he have in the 14 minutes he played? And from your own eye test or eyeballs, is he going to be able to be effective and contribute?
Well, first of all, that was stupid on Spo's part. Bosh should have played more minutes.
Okay.
I thought Bosh played pretty well. You can tell
that
he's laboring because there was a shot, a rebound that he would have dunked before that he kind of tapped in. You know, he wasn't moving the same, but he was still being effective. And this is like, you're one game away from elimination. You can't be thinking about, well, it's not fair to him. He just came back. Look, it's all hands on deck. That
especially when the
up.
Other alternative is Haslam and, like, Joel Anthony. Like, when you're looking at that, you got a bat. I mean,
ugly
even mug. Like you said, they have a 60% of Bosh is still going to give you more than those guys will. Production-wise,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
The first jump shot he put up, that jump. Ugly.
Yeah.
How about real rap? I ain't even being funny. I'm not being funny. Yo, Eddie Curry is better than Bosh, or better than Haslam and Joel Anthony.
I don't disagree with that, unless it's something
we just don't
know, because they still ain't
I don't disagree,
there.
But I'm also not agreeing either.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. Like, I don't know, but probably.
That ain't hard to do, but still.
Well, we're sitting here trying
to figure
out
that's what that
why,
deserves. That ain't hard to be here.
We're trying to figure out why, you know, the Celtics got back into this series the way they did. Rondo actually gave an answer at halftime in one of the games. And this is what he said when asked, you know, how they all of a sudden putting up all these points on such a great defensive team.
Rajon, third straight half where your team has put at least 50, in fact 61, on what was one of the better defenses in the first two rounds of the playoffs. What holes are you guys exploiting in this defense?
Them complaining and crying to referees in transition.
Yo, talk about keeping it real, 100 and short.
Best down bite of the playoffs right there, man.
Then they tried to get him to back up off it, as is customary with most of the day's athletes, and he was like,
yeah,
no. I said what I meant. Y'all can quote.
If y'all watch,
you know
Wade, man, he be going crazy when he think he got fouled.
Exactly. And that's what I was about to say, PJ. Like, when he said it, it was all, you know, in the moment, all you really thinking about is like, ooh, he took a shot, blah, blah, blah. The next game, I didn't even start trying to, you know, break down his comments and actually watch for it until the next game. The dude is telling the truth. Like, Miami gives up so many points in transition because they're complaining about a foul call. I remember I saw LeBron, he got hit. He stopped. He's walking over to the ref with his palms up in the air, and the Celtics are running.
Yep.
By the time LeBron got back up there, but at that point, nobody really knew where their assignment was because they were kind of thrown off by being a man short. So KG decides to just slide up into the lane. He gets the pass from Rondo and gets the dunk on the corny ball, the shooter.
Yeah, he beat his face
yeah.
up.
Yeah. And you know what's funny, too,
he beat that up and got an and one. But I'm like, that's exactly what Rondo was talking about. Like, we're benefiting off the fact that they cried to the rest on every single play.
And speaking of Spo, sometimes since that comment, and I saw at least like three or four times in the next game where Spo was on the sideline trying to get them dudes to get back, like tell them to get back. And they still arguing about their calls, especially D-Wade and LeBron, like really arguing about their calls. And I think,
and
like,
D-Wade,
there's a lot of possessions that you miss on, that, like, though not getting back. People don't even look at that and consider those transition buckets. Even if you don't score, fouls and stuff like that, that stuff
they
adds up.
Dwayne Wade is out of his mind, first of all, because dude gets away with Krav Maga on the basketball
team. Yo, D-Wade goes to the hole and double dragon kicks people. they call a foul on a person, he done double dragon kick. But even
right.
beyond that,
and if
he's
foul that he's gotten away with in this series, like, D-Wade, just get back on defense and play, guys. You are
right.
tripping.
Yo,
no.
It's crazy.
D-Wade
when they
used
take
to
these
be...
offensive fouls. It's like, yo, I said it last night. Like, yo, it looks like there's a sniper in the building. Well, the night before that,
because these are two of the most floppiest
teams
ever. John
was in the building, and he was knocking them off the way he'd be falling on when they try to take these charges.
Yeah, and that's both teams.
But
man.
Then when
both
they dunk on somebody, they won't flex their muscles all the time, though.
Yeah.
But play D, you watch them flop.
Yeah, you're not
you know,
strong.
Everybody is like, all off my floor. Remember KG said after the first game, all that they showboat too much or something about them showboating.
He said they Hollywood.
Yeah,
they Hollywood. But then when he gets fouled and falls to the ground, he starts doing push-ups. Come on, cuz. Come on, cuz.
That noni juice, Jim. That noni juice make you do strange
that
things.
That noni juice, man. Anyway, man,
yo. KG did stop acting tough this series. I mean, he stopped all that tough stuff.
I think he stopped acting tough, like, this playoff. Remember I was telling y'all, like, he wasn't pulling that stuff with Elton Brand because every time he might have, like, raised the elbow or something, Elton kind of got in his face. And KG kind of looked the other way, didn't even make eye contact with him.
Elton would have beat
it's
KG
like the better the players are that he's playing against. Like he only tries that with like either nobodies or really small guards.
Rookie.
Like,
I think he wants to keep feeding on them two bums they got sticking. He like I'm not even risking getting kicked out of this series because
I look like KG from Minnesota.
He looked like he in Minnesota.
Yo, he might go back to Minnesota if they win the chip just to retire. Like, I'm back, and I'm still the same.
Yo, we got a couple minutes left. Let me ask you guys real quick about this. You know, we don't support drug addicts here, but Pac-Man's fighting this weekend. PJ, our resident boxing expert, just give us real quick your opinion on this fight.
I got
real
quick,
again?
I got
Tim Bradley.
Yeah, Tim Bradley. Because Tim Bradley wants to be a tough guy, and I just think style-wise, I think Pacquiao is going to take advantage of him. Tim Bradley don't have enough fluidity, and he's not a boxer. He's, like, stiff, and I think that type of style, like, falls right into Pacquiao's wheelhouse. So I say a stoppage at, like, round 10.
Yeah, I'm trying
so
to
he's going to go knock down that wall.
Like,
you may say, come knock down
this
wall.
Come on, man.
I'm trying to find this.
What are you talking about, though?
I know, exactly. Like, duh, who are you? My fault.
But Jimmy said he'd rather go see Pac-Man in concert than in a boxing match. Why is he singing?
Yo, Pac-Man don't sound that bad.
Yo, I'm in tears over here, cuz my man said he get the acting fought show,
man.
You can't get a concert
Jimmy,
that night.
Jimmy, I think we saw a ball on that cruise last week.
Yo, man.
Yo, there was a lot of Pac-Man.
I got one thing. You can't be tough when you sing like that, man. I got one thing to say to Pac-Man real quick, man.
You should be ashamed of your
nah. Yo, seriously, though. Singing must be the thing in the Philippines, because I ain't even trying to be funny. Austin, you've seen it, because I know you've been on a cruise, and whoever else has been on a cruise, you know a lot of the staff are from other places, and a lot of them happen to be from, like, the Philippines, Thailand, stuff like that. Yo, if you go into any lounge or bar on a cruise ship, like, you'll walk up to it, and you'll hear like an Earth, Wind, and Fire song being sang. And then you walk in there and you see that everybody's singing in the band look like Manny Pacquiao, and it blows your mind.
Filipino.
It absolutely blows your mind.
Filipino, yo, they be killing
the Filipinos is down with Motown.
They be killing it. That's all they sing on there is like Motown music and stuff like that. But Jim,
we got
to get out of here, man. Time to get up out of here.
Thanks for joining us in the World Room Roundtable for another week, man. Shout out to everyone who added to the discussion, either in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, people that called in. Tune in next week, same time, same place. We're going to talk greasy about all your favorite sports heroes. We'll also discuss the big stories of the week, but we'll concentrate on the NBA Finals. By that time, we should be in the NBA Finals, and some of you fans will be upset. Enjoy your weekend, and make sure you're back with us next week. Till next week, everybody, listen to Mandy real quick. Sometimes when we pass,
He ain't beating women, he's singing to women.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen. When niggas are rockin' right, we gon' take it back, talk with me, not tonight. Hey, not tonight. No, not tonight. Hey, not tonight. We gon' take it back to when niggas are nickel. Round of applause for the dope boys. Here to the phenomenal Coke boys. Y'all don't understand, it's a phenomenal brand. Smack going down like cute domino hands. If that rapper alive, he probably happy just to slap me a five. Homie, the game ain't dead. It's just a couple key athletes died. That's why I'm rapping like I have to revive. The mixture of magic and MJ passion. Getting the way, it's gonna be tragic as MJ passed. With ears like VR, the CPR. The game will never breathe its last breath because we are the house gang. Rap's only alliance. Why you so scared? I'm only a giant. I do it late night. Call me Conan O'Brien. And the nose on my gun look like Pinocchio lying. Last team to Scotland sipping good liquor. If you're making good, I'm Forrest Wood Dicker. Oscar winner, Oscar wiener. If your flow's Aquafina, I'm Katrina. Y'all say that your pockets are big. I'd rather say that I'm pop mixed with big. You're looking at a microphone rocker on vodka. That's why I be walking off with you. Slaughterhouse in a place to be seen. And we got what it takes to rock the mic. We gon' take it back to when niggas are rocking right. We gon' take it back, fuck with me. Not tonight. Joey, red, they had to warn them. Take them to the cleaners, plastic bag on them. I ain't like y'all, I don't like y'all. Put them in lyrical jail with suicide thoughts. Kick the chair, hang them from his mic cord. What's the fight for? Never back down. I'm on some bullshit, quick sipping jack now. Worries on Patron, crook got the chrome. Guess what I'm trying to say is leave the boys alone. How you got hope? Had nothing to prove and had nothing to lose. And now we got both. Celebration, bitches, now we got toast. But with no ratchets, Joel, go ahead and jack it. Real nigga, rhymes spit a whole bag. A bold swagger, flow dagger, hip-hop, toe tagger. No slacker, I could chill, but I'd so rather eat a nigga, cause he's sweeter than a glass of gold slagger. Poor rappers, here on y'all won't matter. And I'ma brag in every interview, so you're more madder. I'm the man in the booth, with a few good men. And you can't handle the truth. And y'all can say I'm nice, but I'm not. I'm mean, slow coke with ice in the pot. The fiends don't go broke, they die in a cop. My team is so dope, you like it or not.